Hey everyone, just before we get started, another reminder to go over and rate and review the podcast on iTunes. That really helps us move up the iTunes charts in terms of people being able to find us. Also, always a reminder, free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab, dfsr.com/MLB. We'll still get you that. It covers optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. MLB, NFL, right down the pike. We'll have those first round of projections hopefully out this week. So free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. And one other little show note, James was working off of internet here at a sort of off the grid lake house. So there's a couple times where he cuts in and out. Bear with us with on that one today. And I think that's it. Let's get it on. All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Friday, August 18th. I'm Doug Norrie, that is.
James Davis.
And we are here on a full Friday in baseball, well, minus, I guess, a 2 o'clock slate of games. The more important question, buddy, is after spending a week with your family at my house, scale of 1 to missing me, where do you think you land on that scale?
I miss you like a soldier who's headed for a war, Doug. That's the Indigo Girls. Just quote that one.
Good Lord, the Indigo Girls quote. Anything else? There's a very few things that make me want to stop
and set me up, dude. You didn't give me any advance notice. It's just the first thing that came to mind. It's like a Rorschach test. I don't know what to tell you.
And you failed, my friend, because the very few things that you say and something that make me want to just rewind and start the podcast over. I don't think the Indigo Girls quote is going to...
Well, I don't think it's going to resonate with our demographic. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, our demo was not listened to Ophelia. There you go. I know an Indigo Girls.
Wait a second. Dude, I'm so sorry. I thought this was our Lilith Fair podcast that we normally do. That's totally my bad. We're doing that one next time. Anyway.
Lilith.
That's right. We're doing our baseball podcast.
All right. A full Friday in baseball with, like I said, there's a 2 o'clock game that is the Cubs and the Blue Jays. We'll kind of leave that one out. We're mostly going to focus on the 7 o'clock and I got excited this morning because I saw DraftKings was doing an early only 7 o'clock only slate, which I've been begging them to do for a while now because I thought people would like it. And then I noticed it was only the arcade and the pick'em slate. So got halfway there, but not all the way there. DraftKings been actually real quick. We'll start here for 1 second. DraftKings has been throwing out a lot of different stuff lately. So more related to football, but they have the $1 billion football contest that's coming up for week 1 where you need to pick the perfect lineup. So they're doing the old fingers crossed. Well, they actually don't care. Their insurance companies are doing the full fingers crossed. They've already paid the premium, I'm sure. So the insurance companies are sitting.
Insurance companies that back stuff like this are just badass. These guys are just men after my own heart, and they walk right into that, the old hypothetical gambler's bet. If someone walks up to you on the street and says, hey, I'll give you a... we'll flip a coin, heads or tails. I'll give you $1 million if it's heads, and you give me $5 million if it's tails, and or vice versa. I'll give you $5 million if it's heads, and you give me $1 million if it's tails. And you're like, yeah, you know, it'd be nice to have $5 million for sure, but if I give him $1 million, I'm just going to be homeless.
Right.
So whatever insurance company does this, they're like, don't put $1 billion on the line. I don't care. Go ahead.
Well, it's actually 4 insurance companies because it's such a huge payout. I don't think they could get the $1 billion from the one. Nuts. But we were looking at the list, and you made a good point. They're like, you know, the insurance companies are huge when you haven't heard their names before. Like, so it's not like Geico's not on the list, you know? Like insurance companies like HomeSafe, like these companies aren't on the list. It's like things like, you know, Arvanda or thing. I'm making that name up, but it's names that sound like that, you know. It's just like some generic name that just has, you know, $500 billion in the bank, whatever. Okay, so they do things like that. Now they're doing a new pick'em slate, which, you know, you're picking sort of like in that old, I believe it was DraftKings that did it. I can't remember who did that, but you pick from tiers of players, one player per tier. They have the arcade contest. They're throwing all these contests out. Do you take these things as good signs for DraftKings or signs of desperation? They're innovating. I mean, it could be somewhere in the middle. It doesn't need to be like binary. It's like either good or it's terrible. These new, lots of like new ideas. Like, do you take these as a company in growth, a company that's like sort of throwing things against the wall, see what sticks, like startup style? Like, what's your initial reaction when you see like this, I don't know, sort of wave of new ideas kind of coming out there?
Yeah, it's always tough to tell because on one hand, they just haven't done anything in a while, right? DraftKings has basically been DraftKings for quite some time. You know, the FanDuel merger looks like it won't happen. So, you know, the people there have to justify the fact that they're getting paychecks somehow. So I think like it, on some way, it just could be, you know, just white noise. Like they just have to explain to their boss that they're doing something. But yeah, I think it could be either of those things. I mean, people tend not to innovate. like when you reach the size of DraftKings, most companies have a, like basically every company has a great time or a great deal of difficulty trying to innovate in a way that their customers actually appreciate. So like Facebook would be an example of that, right? Like anytime Facebook changes anything, everyone's just totally furious. Like no change at Facebook has ever been met with anything other than total disgust. But Google would be an example of a different kind of company where they've been able to add, you know, Google Maps, and they're like, well, we'll just be the best at maps and email. How about that? Oh, you don't think that's enough? Well, we'll just buy YouTube, you know, and be the best at video. And so they go from business to business and just keep kicking ass. So here's to hoping DraftKings is just one of those businesses, the ones that keeps adding new things that are better and better and better. But yeah, there's no way to tell.
The pick'em slate and arcade slate, I don't like the arcade slate as much. I don't mind the pick'em just because it's pretty easy, though. I suspect it's going to be, I mean, easy to just make lineups. I suspect it's going to be easy for everybody. And then the billion-dollar thing.
Back in the day, you brought up the Draft Street used to have those pick'em contests, and there was a decent amount of chalk going on there. And back then, there was no such thing as chalk, like in terms of how information would spread throughout the industry. So I suspect unless they make these things super, super tight and they don't really demonstrate an ability to price things efficiently, that it's just going to be a bunch of chalk and people passing the rake money around.
All right, let's get into a Friday of baseball here. Decisions don't look well, in some ways they look kind of clear, and in other ways I guess they don't. The big question people are going to ask themselves, at least on the 7 o'clock main slate, is the starting pitcher one. Are you going to go Scherzer or Kluber here? Those are the two guys. There's a pretty steep drop off after those two guys just in terms of overall talent. They're both priced around the same. You know, they both had great seasons. Scherzer, you know, he had a little bit of that back tightness thing that kind of took him out of a game a couple games ago. But overall, his season's been great. Kluber, kind of just right in that same range. Do you think the matchup here is just the matchup that Scherzer gets San Diego and Kluber has to go to the AL or continue to pitch in the AL, sorry, and then face Kansas City? Do you think like that is the thing that just makes the final decision like pretty easy?
Yeah, I think we actually, these guys are just like on the same cycle together, kind of like two girls who go to summer camp together. But
another awesome reference. You're really reference.
Yeah, even that one felt weird to me coming out of my mouth. So
I can tell.
Kind of caught in my mouth a little bit, like a new taste. It's like
we start the podcast with the Indigo Girls reference,
and now I'm going with a period schedule reference. I don't think that's untoward. I think it's just a fact of life, Doug. And if
you're meant. I didn't even realize that's what you meant. I thought they just we're going to continue going to summer camp together. I didn't think there was okay, we're moving on. We're moving on for this. It's going to offend somebody.
Let me just break down the biology for people for one
second. No. We're going to offend somebody. I thought they were just continuing on the same summer schedule. All right,
if people are offended by that, then they have issues. But yeah, it's a matchup thing. I mean, these guys are, we talked about this last time, was what I was going to circle back around to until you so rudely interrupted me. And they're basically the same exact pitcher. I mean, Kluber is a hair better in the walk department. Scherzer is a hair better in, let's see here, nothing. Yeah, they're both the same. So Kluber's a little bit better, but the matchup is very, very much in Scherzer's favor here. The Padres, one of the very best matchups in the majors for opposing right-handed pitchers, top four in the league in terms of WOBA against righties, in terms of it being good for the pitcher, and then one of the highest strikeout rates. And the Royals, they're not very good against righties, but they're not horrendous either. So, I just go Scherzer here. I don't think it's like particularly close, just because the matchup is so different.
Yeah, no, the money line favors Scherzer in a huge way here. And actually, I take that back. He's -205. Kluber's right in that same range, -200. It's the run line that's different. So Kluber gets a 8.5 here, getting the Royals in at somewhere around 3.5 implied runs. San Diego, a full half a run implied less. I think that makes the decision pretty easy. Now, I don't think you see, at times, Scherzer has been something like an 80%, 85% start on FanDuel, sort of in that same range on DraftKings. I think the existence of Kluber here is enough to drive the ownership level down just enough that he's not, I think he still probably ends up in like that 70% range, which is still crazy chalk. But I do think you see maybe enough people talking themselves into Kluber simply because he's been just as good as Scherzer this season. All that being said, I do think people end up on Scherzer, and I think that's probably just correct because of the matchup and all the other context that you kind of get around it. After those two guys, if you want to pivot, Now, there are some bats you can spend up for here, specifically over in Coors. If you want to pivot off of one of these two guys on FanDuel, which feels crazy, but I can see a scenario where you can do it, and you want to go into a lower realm, and then we're going to have to probably talk about DraftKings starting pitcher two, because you are committing a lot of salary to whichever one of these guys you take and to try to get bats. Give me some other pitchers we can consider on this slate. If we want, like I said, with the idea here, two ideas. One, pivoting off them on FanDuel to just a totally different guy, or trying to slot someone in for starting pitcher two.
Yeah, so I'd start with Carlos Martinez. He's a guy that, you know, people have had a rocky past with, but just a classic example of why it's worthless to cite. Like, the last time we recommended Martinez, or two times ago, there was someone in chat in our DFSR.com chat room who was saying things like, oh, in his last 38 innings, he's given up 24 runs. And we asked the question, well, why not just go back to his last 49 innings where he's given up 30 or 24 runs or whatever, right? And so you want to look at these guys basically on a season-long basis and try to figure out what their true talent level is. And in the case of Carrasco, the true talent level is very high. I mean, 9.6 Ks per nine, 3 walks per nine. These are excellent numbers. He's got a ground ball percentage over 50 and an xFIP around 3.6. And so that's not world-beating territory. It's not as good as Kluber or Scherzer. But what it means is he does have the potential to have the highest total score on a given night. And for big tournament purposes, if you can save up $2,000 and you can roll a guy out there like Martinez, who's going to be, you know, under-owned relative to his more expensive peers, then I think you can get you can do something interesting there. I don't think it's phenomenal by any means. I wouldn't do it for cash games. The Pirates don't tend to strike out a lot, although they do have the second lowest WOBA in the majors against righties. But yeah, that's kind of where I would lean.
I'm with you, sort of on the same line. I think I would throw in a guy like Zach Godley. Godley's been decent this year. I mean, he's made a huge improvement over his 2016 season, which was effectively his rookie season. That was like his first 100 innings. He's made his big gains he's made this year are in the strikeouts, right? So he went from, you know, somewhere in that like 7.5 strikeout per nine guy all the way up to 9 over a strikeout per inning guy so far this year, 3.33 xFIP. He's just like a pretty good pitcher. He unfortunately has to pitch in a bad ballpark, which is going to kind of probably hurt him just going forward for like his career. But he does move out of there into Minnesota tonight. Minnesota is a team that can strike out, especially at the top of the lineup. You know, it's not a great spot. This is, again, tournament only, just because there's just a lot of ways for this to go wrong. The Twins are a decent offense. But when you can take a guy, it's mostly the strikeouts. If I can get a guy that can strike out somewhere in that strikeout an inning, maybe a little bit more range for significantly less, those are the kind of guys that do have upside for me. But like I said, it's sort of just tournament only. I'm not even sure either that like you get there on starting pitcher to any of these guys, because this is on DraftKings, because on Scherzer and Kluber are just so much. Like Scherzer's 14,000, and I still think that's probably correct to play him. Kluber 13,400. These guys, you really can't roster them together. That's just, you know, more than 50% of your salary cap, and Kluber's not in a good enough situation that you can really consider it, I don't think. But starting pitcher two, if I want to go cheap and I need to maybe like kind of, because I want to have something in the semblance of offense, because there are some teams with some pretty good matchups today. Is there a cheap guy down at like the bottom of the list here that you think you can throw out there and not want to just totally just commit Harry Carey?
So I'm going to make a case for Matt Moore, another name that users, frequent DFSR users, are not going to want to see in any lineup anywhere. But Moore is kind of an interesting case here, because if you look at him over the last few seasons, he's basically been the same pitcher, which is a guy who strikes out about 8 guys per nine, walks about 3.3 guys per nine, gives up a lot of fly balls. And that's led to some not very spectacular results, you know, an ERA around 4 last season, and then an ERA up at 5.7 this year. But I would hesitate to call him a true talent 5.7 ERA pitcher. And here's why. The first thing you want to look at with Moore is the BABIP issue. So this year, he has a 333 BABIP, which is dramatically up from his 297 kind of established baseline. You know, Moore's 28 years old at this point and was kind of steadily hovering in that 280 to 300 BABIP range, basically until the last couple of seasons. And so you have to wonder, is this all of a sudden a new change, something to his repertoire that would lead to him having what would be tantamount to the highest BABIP allowed in the majors? Now, maybe. I mean, he's certainly had some of the worst results in the majors for sure. I tend to think that that's probably not the case. I think that far more likely is that he's just having kind of a bad sample size issue, and that this is going to flex back in the other direction at some some point. And so, okay, if we take that Moore is better than the ERA would suggest, then we want to look at opponent and park. So first of all, San Francisco, one of the very best parks to pitch in the major leagues. We know that. It's very forgiving to fly ball pitchers, which is extremely helpful for Moore. He tends to struggle the most at parks that don't allow for much flexibility around his 38% career ground ball rate. And then we go to the Phillies, and the Phillies are just a dream spot. There's really no other way to put it. They're a top five or bottom five team in terms of WOBA against left-handed pitching, and they've just kind of been punchless all season long. Like, we were joking the other day that a whole night passed and the Phillies lineup, like, it was a late game and we didn't even notice when it came in because it was so inconsequential, no matter how it shook out and, or what the prices were or whatever. So yeah, love the spot. I don't obviously like to type Moore's name in the player finder and click plus on DraftKings by any stretch, but I think if there's a day to go cheap where you can get away with it and free up bats in some really, really high run line games, I think tonight might be the night.
No, and I think actually I have a sense that he's going to be somewhat of a chalky pitcher here, just because people are onto the Phillies matchup. I think you can times, like we saw this with sort of like with Jaime Garcia the other day. Jaime Garcia has not been very good this season, and he was a hugely chalk pitcher against the Mets. I think at times some of these cheap guys as starting pitcher too just do rise to the top in terms of like the collective industry, and I think that's going to be the case here again with Moore, because everyone's going to want to play Scherzer, and at that point you're just going to need to make what you would deem to be a sacrifice as starting pitcher. Again, I think you made a pretty compelling case for him, and I'm with you. I'm not going to feel great about it, and but I just think that I actually just think enough people will also not feel great about it and will also do it that I just don't even see it as an enormous risk, mostly because, like we said, park and opponent. All right, before we get to some of the bats on this slate, hit us up with a sponsor.
Yeah, let's talk about NoHalftime.com. So NoHalftime.com is a great place to go and download NoHalftime's daily fantasy sports app. And the cool thing about it is that it just works totally different than the other apps you're going to see out there. Primarily, the big difference is you don't draft a whole team in a salary cap format. You pick one player. So if you have a guy who you think is in a particularly great spot this week, you can pick that guy and issue a challenge up again to pit him against any other player in Major League Baseball, or in when football season rolls around, you can pit him against any other player in the NFL. And you issue your challenges, you pick the players involved, you pick the dollar amount, you issue it to the world, and then if people accept it, it's game on. And if they don't, you get your money back. So check out NoHalftime.com. You can also check out all the other challenges that their very active user base are issuing. There's still a ton of great value there. I use that app myself on a very frequent basis. So NoHalftime.com, promo code DFSR, and we'll see you over there.
All right, so we have a couple of interesting slash great spots here. The first one is Coors. They have the most implied, the Rockies have the most implied runs on the slate here for good reason. They have a good matchup. You know, some of the teams aren't too far behind them. Do you think it's worth too far behind them in terms of implied runs? Do you think it's going to be worth, considering how much we need to pay for pitching today, to try to jam in some of these Rockies guys? I mean, they're in good spots. They're very expensive. I'm wondering where you see their ownership today, and do you think it's worth it to try to grab as many top guys, at least at the top of the order, as possible?
Yeah, I guess it just depends on the site involved. So I'd say on FanDuel, it might be a little difficult because Scherzer is just so expensive compared to a lot of the other pitchers that have, you know, you've been able to play recently, and there's some good value across some other games. So I'm not sure that's the direction. Like, certainly won't be a stack with Scherzer. Maybe you get a one-off guy like, you know, LeMay, who's looking like a pretty good value right now at 3,400. On DraftKings, though, I think it's very possible, especially if you're willing to go extremely cheap at the pitcher two slot. Right now, our system is showing Scherzer and Moore with three Coors bats in the optimal lineup. So I do think it's very possible for cash games on DraftKings. Might be a little tougher on FanDuel, but certainly for big tournament purposes, this game should definitely be under radar.
Yeah, no, we have them pretty much like guys like Blackman and Arenado, LeMahieu. They are all at the top of the raw points category here. It's just the price, like especially specifically Blackman. Blackman's been great this season. He's pushing up towards 6,000 on DraftKings. He's getting toward the too expensive. And even then, like you said, like he's in lineup number two right now, but he's in such a good spot here against Garza, who, you know, Garza does throw a few more ground balls than fly balls, but he just can't really strike anybody out. Like his strikeout rate is sort of in like that. Yeah. This season, 6 Ks per 9 with 3 walks. If you can't strike guys out outside of Coors, you definitely aren't striking them out inside of Coors. This is a really bad spot for him. Anytime you have a guy, well, I'm sure he's like not trying to pitch the contact, but anytime you have a contact pitcher like this with just like that air density or whatever it is, then you are in big trouble. I could see them putting up a ton of runs here. I always like to target guys in Coors when they're facing a guy who doesn't really have much in the way of strikeout upside. Now, the team that's going to make it probably easier, at least in cash games, to get away from Colorado is the Rangers. They get to face James Shields. Do you think, now we have them for less implied runs, but not that many. I mean, like, they're like 6.75 implied runs at, I don't know, something like 20% the discount of what you get in Coors, like, at least for the top of that order. Do you think that's like a pretty easy cash game pivot to just take the Rangers guys in Texas, great hitters park, against Shields, who's been like a DFS, like, sort of like whipping boy this entire year?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, the Rangers also, to me, are just a classic example of how DFS is kind of like the stock market, because when we were putting the Rangers forward, you know, especially like sort of the beginning of this month, the Rangers were cropping up towards optimal lineups as their prices got cheaper and they started to find themselves in some pretty plus matchups. And our users were concerned, right? They were like, well, the Rangers, you know, they haven't been doing a lot recently. And so then in the last three games, we got them with pretty cheap prices and they put up 10, 12, and 9 runs respectively. So just trust the long run of baseball, I guess, is my big thing here. So the Rangers, in a long story short, won't be sneaking up on anyone tonight. I suspect they'll be very, very highly owned. James Shields is a known commodity of disaster as well, just building upon his continued insanely terrible repertoire with an all-time worst 5.7 xFIP this season. I think they'll be super highly owned. It's going to be really hard not to have multiple Rangers in any cash game lineup tonight.
Yeah, no, you get the Shields. They've been hitting him lead off. I don't know if they continue with that tonight, but he has kind of gone platoon neutral from the leadoff spot the last couple games, so I suspect he stays there. Then really just the rest of the lineup, they give you problems all the way down basically to the ninth slot. I mean, with Chirinos, like, they've moved Odor all the way down to eighth. That's a lot of home runs from your eighth spot. I mean, like, say what you want about the OPS. The OPS is not that good this year for Odor. Still got like 25 home runs or something like that. Like, he has real power. Wow. He has more power than just about any other eighth hitter that you're going to see.
Than you do, dude.
Yeah, no kidding. And then like guys like Joey Gallo. I think I heard a stat like Joey Gallo has. I'm going to look this up real quick while you bring up your next thing. That Joey Gallo had as many singles as home runs this year. But I'm going to look that up with whatever you go to next. But after these two teams, and I'm with you that I do think that the Rangers, at least at top of that lineup, in the Shields and Chu for FanDuel, 2,900 and 3,000. Tough to get away from those values with Shields on the mound. Stacks after Rockies and Rangers. There's another team that you're kind of honing in on. Maybe we're getting away from cash games at this point, but what other teams are in good spots?
Sure. Well, I'm kind of perplexed by the Miami-New York line, because my first instinct when I looked at this was Chris Flexen is on a team with a minus money line tonight, minus 107. What's going on here? So as I investigated it more closely, I realized that he was going up against Justin Nicolino, and these guys are just equal parts futility this season. I've talked about Flexen kind of a decent amount basically every time he's started, but it's worth pointing out one more time that he has a 6.5 walks per nine in the 16 innings he's pitched in the majors this season. And just a startling, I get that it's only 16 and two-thirds innings, but it's four starts worth of a 6.2 xFIP and a 7 ERA, so about as bad as you can possibly imagine. Just a pretty clear case of a guy who just called up too early. Like, prior to this major league experience, his next highest experience was 48 innings at Double A, where he was admittedly pretty good, but he's just not ready. And a major league team like the Marlins can absolutely pick apart a guy like that. And then on the other side, we have Justin Nicolino, who, you know, arguably worse than Flexen, simply because we have a longer track record of him being in the majors and simply having some of the worst K stuff to ever cross a major league mound. I mean, at least since the dead ball era. So he's got a 3.8 ERA this season and 3.8 Ks per nine. 3.8 would be actually a pretty good ERA. 3.8 Ks per nine, which is just colossally bad. I'm just not used to saying numbers that low with the stat Ks per nine, so I got pretty confused. And I'm sorry, that's his career Ks per nine. I'm all over the place. 3.8 Ks per nine for his career. And yeah, both these guys are terrible. The Vegas doesn't have a huge total for this, but I kind of have a sinking suspicion that it'll get bet up. And part of that's, of course, due to the fact that these teams can't hit super well. But yeah, I think it's a good spot to target if your game is like mine for big tournaments. Where can I find the worst pitcher and just take a ton of hitters against him?
Yeah, that's the problem. What you said at the end is the teams. Is like the Mets, you know, they've jettisoned off some of their bigger power bats, like no more Duda, no more Jay Bruce, and that takes a significant bite out of, like, you know, the pivoting off of those two guys. I know there's a left, that would be lefty lefty matchup, but just in general for the Mets, that pivoting off those two guys to like the Dominic Smiths of the world is just, and like, you know, well, today would be Juan Lagares, but there's our, I'm just trying to think.
Yeah, but here's the thing: you don't have to play all the bets, right? This is the thing I try to point out anytime we're talking about stacks, which is like, depth in some ways, like you talked about the Rangers having tremendous depth and that leading to a high run total for them, a lack of depth actually can kind of disguise the fact that top of the order guys might be better plays. So if you can go like, I don't know, if it's Cabrera and Cespedes 2-3 or something like that, you might be able to get some pretty good value. Maybe you do grab Lagares out of the number one spot if he leads off again. Like Wilmer Flores, another guy who you could consider if he winds up playing. So yeah, I just think like Dominic Smith, D'Arnaud, Ahmed Rosario, you're probably not going to play those guys, but you don't need to.
No, that makes total sense. That's actually one of the harder things sometimes to wrap your brain around in terms of projections is like how to how to like figure out which percentage of the implied runs are going to go to a specific guy. Like it makes sense in the sense that you want to spread out equally, and it's like we have solid projections for every player. But you know, the guys like Cespedes probably more are in much better of a spot than sort of the rest of the team here. But it's gonna be hard to not spread out those runs over the entire team, if that makes sense. I'm not sure I'm making total sense with that. All right, so before we get out of here, a couple other things. Dodgers in a good spot here. You know, they're always one of the best offenses in the game. Jordan Zimmerman's been particularly bad this season. His the K rate under six again for two seasons in a row. His xFIP up in mid fives. Not very good. The problem with the Dodgers here is that you're just not getting them super cheap anymore. They've just been so good for so long that it just you're not getting solid deals on them like you are on other teams across the industry. We're gonna get out of here. The audio has been kind of cutting in and out of us, like I said on the beginning of the podcast. That's fine. If you want to go head over to dfsr.com, you can see who we have up there for stacks. You can see who we have, some other pitchers that we break down today. Our full picks article is up. We'll be back again next week talking more baseball. Buddy, enjoy the lake house internet that you're working off of, and we will talk to you again next week.
Thanks, man. Peace.